The Royal Rumble of 2024, man, did it underperform. I mean, I'm not hating on it, but a lot of the right wrestlers came out on the right side of the bed. Bayley is your women's Royal Rumble winner. Cody Rhodes is the first back-to-back winner. And a lot of fans are really not happy with Triple H and what he had to say about the allegations towards Vince McMahon. And speaking of Vince, he's officially out of WWE or TKO. He's history. They're going to give him the Chris Benoit treatment. So is Brock Lesnar. Word is that Brock Lesnar is out as well. But I'm going to get on more depth in the news here and recap just a little snippet of Monday Night Raw and a lot of other breaking news right here on Pardon the Pipe Bomb podcast.
In anybody else's hands, this is a microphone. In my hands, it's a pipe bomb. I have a dream. That's all I need. I'll make it happen with some work and belief. Know what I want, so I'll take it on. I'll make mistakes, but
the Royal Rumble, damn, my favorite time to watch it. And I know that I've said this before, my most favorite Royal Rumble ever. Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker. Them two had major chemistry. Forever will be my favorite Royal Rumble match of all time. But what is going on, everybody? My name is Flamio, and thank you all very much for joining me right here on the podcast, Pardon the Pipe Bomb. It is January 30th, 2024. Like I said, I'm your host, Flamio. It's been an exciting day. Had to take a couple days off. Had to recharge my social battery so I can do this and also do my job outside of the podcast world. The Royal Rumble, though, guys. Man, I hope that they never, ever go back to Tampa Bay. And thank God, because I was going to be going to that event. I really thought about it. Here in Pittsburgh, they have a airline, Breeze Airways is what it's called. And tickets for a round trip for Friday until Sunday morning, or no, Friday until Monday morning, was only $70. Almost did it. But then I saw the tickets. Cheapest ticket was $400. And I saw the layout of it, but I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to get into the Royal Rumble, pick out some key points. Got a couple superstars that were a surprise entrant. I mean, when I say surprise, some of them were surprised. Well, one of them was a very good surprise when he really wasn't a surprise, in Andre Cianalmas, or just now Andre, or Andrade, or Andrade, right? I don't know. But he returned to WWE, and all of us, I think, kind of forgot about Andrade with the whole allegation with Vince McMahon, and hoping that there were other people that were going to be a surprise entrant in the Royal Rumble for this year. But Andrade, he returned. He looked pretty good. Wasn't really into the men's Royal Rumble match. I'm not blaming the fans, but maybe they, I don't know, maybe they were tired. They were tired out. They were there for the women's fucking Royal Rumble match. Bayley, she's the winner for the women's side. And for the men's side, like I said, Cody Rhodes was the winner. Now, WWE, they got it right on both sides of the field here. With Cody Rhodes winning, though, something happened Monday that got us thinking. I'll get back to that in a bit. But what else happened? Oh, yeah, of course. You have the Fatal 4-Way match with Roman Reigns, LA Knight, AJ Styles, and Randy Orton. When it looked like that maybe Randy Orton possibly injured himself, we don't know. There's no news on it, but he probably was just selling the bit during the match. And I say this because I could care less of what happened in the Fatal 4-Way match, because I knew that Roman Reigns was going to be winning it. It was pointless for him to even have a title defense. When everybody on social media wants to get on Roman Reigns for not being a fighting champion, when all of us know that he is going to be in WrestleMania with that title to defend it against somebody. We don't know who. I want it to be Cody Rhodes because I want him to finish his story with the undisputed Universal Heavyweight Champion. Universal Championship. But on the other side, there could be another storyline that's coming around. The one good thing about Triple H, he does great with long-term booking. But with this new idea that's surfacing the internet, I don't know if it's really long-term booking or just a holy shit, we got to get something in there now. I'll get back to that in a bit. And you also have the U.S. title, Logan Paul against Kevin Owens. I guess Kevin Owens fractured his ankle. I don't know when the hell that happened, but he powered through. And that's why he is a beloved heel or a villain heel that everyone just loves to cheer for. But that's pretty much that all that happened at the Royal Rumble. Now, why I want to talk about the Royal Rumble is because of what happened during the post-conference of the Royal Rumble when Triple H got up there. And he had some, well, he didn't like want to bring this up, but of course some geek had to ask this question. I mean, everyone knew that it was coming, but it was better that it came from somebody known as a Fightful Select. And this person from Fightful Select said this. I don't have the exact quote, but he said something along the lines of that he asked Triple H if whether or not he knew about the McMahon's conduct prior to the lawsuit. And Triple H then said this, "I'm going to do exactly what you expect me to do here." Kind of like laughing, like, you know, I don't know why that you're asking me this. Triple H said, before talking about other topics, including The Rock joining TKO's board of directors, he continued and he said this, "I choose to focus on the positive, and yes, there's a negative, but I want to focus on the positives and do that." I mean, did he know about the lawsuit? Once Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics was up next, he asked whether Triple H read the lawsuit, and he said he had not before noting, "I think Cody Rhodes mentioned it, that we all found out in real time when you were, and that's the truth. I'll go back to what I said before. This is an amazing week for us, and at this point, I don't even want to get bogged down on the negatives. I just want to focus on the positives and where we're going. I feel like we're in the middle of something that we might not be able to put our finger on now, but 5-10 years from now, we're going to be saying, wow, what a time that was, and I want to focus on that." And then finally, Triple H was asked about the steps in place to ensure that employees feel safe. And then this is what he said. "I'll give you the most generalized answer I can. Everything possible. That is a very important thing to us, a very important topic to us. It's as simple as everything possible." End quote. So, while Triple H was saying all this, a lot of the fans on X were not really pleased about how Triple H handled everything. I think Triple H handled it great. Consider me the fucking minority in all this, but I think Triple H handled it very well. He's at a press conference, or he's at a post-show conference for one of the biggest premium live events under WrestleMania. It's bigger than Survivor Series. It's bigger than Money in the Bank. The Royal Rumble is special, and it's on the same level as WrestleMania. Me and a lot of other fans, we find that the Royal Rumble is our favorite time of the year. Hell, back in college, a lot of my college friends, they didn't even like wrestling. But what we did, we sat and watched it, and we created a drinking game for it, which I'm sure that all of you have done. It's a great time to watch wrestling. It's fun. You don't even have to know what characters or what storyline is going on to just enjoy it if it's a fucking drinking game. In my eyes, Triple H handled it very well. He could have, you know, threw Vince McMahon underneath the bus, but I think it's because he has ties in the family and he doesn't want to discourage him. And I also think that Triple H, he doesn't want to discourage Vince McMahon in basically saying, hey, fuck you for doing all this shit. I mean, who's not to say that Triple H knew about it or like that he knew of the events that were going on, but he didn't know the severity of it. Maybe he just turned an eye and said, you know what? You do what you do. Hey, you told me that you signed an NDA. I'm just going to turn my eyes away. I'm not into that shit, but, you know, I respect you enough to just turn an eye. Who knows? Maybe that could... I'm not saying that's what Triple H said. I'm saying maybe, in my opinion, I, Flamio, maybe that's what he's... Maybe that's what Triple H did. Maybe that's what Paul Levesque did. Who knows? But if fans really expected Triple H to go up there and to answer the question of basically throwing Triple H underneath the bus and throwing shade at him, he's sitting in the seat where Vince McMahon has been for almost my whole life. No, my whole life. It's not even a question why he did what he did. And how he answered it, he still saved his ass. I don't know. I'm just very... When I was seeing all that shit on Twitter, I just could not get on board with harping on Triple H for saying what he said. I mean, he didn't say much. He was just toeing the line. Treading lightly, as Walter White would say. I mean, if all of you think that Triple H was going to answer that in a way that everyone wanted him to answer, you got another thing coming. He cares about it, but he cares about what happened that just ended 20 minutes ago prior going up to the post show. Use your head, guys. Now, with that being said, prior to the Royal Rumble, Vince McMahon, he decided it's best if I part ways with TKO. McMahon, he had resigned from all of his roles within TKO. And that's including the TKO executive chairman and the TKO board of directors. Following the lawsuit, though, that alleged him to be involved in a sex trafficking and abuse scandal from a former WWE employee. The overwhelming feeling within the company following McMahon's departure has been a huge sigh of relief here. Based on a new report from what I'm reading here, PW Insider, they report this. The reaction internally is happiness and relief. And those overwhelmingly felt McMahon got what was coming to him following the allegations made in the lawsuit in the past 24 hours of the news that happened. With all of the news, Slim Jim pulled their sponsorship from the Royal Rumble, and then they came back. Those in the company somewhat expected McMahon's resignation from the company, although they didn't think it would happen that quickly. And me, personally, I didn't think it was going to happen that quickly. I was shocked that it happened 24 hours when all this shit went down. I thought maybe I'd give it a little time, probably next week, maybe sometime during the middle of the week, not the day of the Royal Rumble. But the article continues. The report stated that one source said McMahon was a black cloud hanging over everything, even though he wasn't involved in anything anymore. And then Ronda Rousey then tweeted saying that as long as Bruce Pritchard is in the building still or in the company, he still has McMahon's ear. But McMahon, being in the company after Triple H, was given full reign of creative, was seen as more of a ceremonial role. And this was a feature piece from Andrew Ravens on WrestlingNews.co. Like I said, man, a lot of shit went down. And a lot of shit in WWE. They believe that, some are hoping that Stephanie McMahon will return to the company. Yeah. That'd be cool if she comes back to the company, have one McMahon member inside WWE. But like I said before, it's really odd that Stephanie McMahon was in the company and then as a new leader and took over the roles for Vince McMahon. And then when Vince McMahon got back into the company, then Stephanie McMahon stepped away from the company. It's like that she knew something. I wouldn't doubt it. So what makes fans think that Stephanie McMahon is going to be coming back? Internal beliefs, though. This is PW Insider again. They report that there is also a belief that Endeavor may sweep out anyone close to McMahon and his remaining team to have a fresh start for the company moving forward without Vince McMahon. And some employees departed from the company once McMahon initially resigned and returned once he forced his way back in last year. The belief after the WWE and UFC merger is their connection to McMahon may be a major negative going forward regarding their status with the company. Who knows what the fuck this means? All I'm saying, I'm glad that that sick bastard is out of the company. And I know I am not the only one to say that. I'm going to be sticking with the Vince McMahon news here, but I'm just reading now that TKO, they filed an SEC on Vince McMahon's resignation. Vince McMahon, he, like I said, resigned from all of TKO. McMahon issued a statement through Deadline regarding the move, noting, out of the respect for the WWE universe, the extraordinary TKO business and its board members and shareholders, partners and consultants, and all of the employees and superstars who helped make WWE into the global leader it is today, I have decided to resign from my executive chairmanship and TKO board of directors effective immediately. Now, WWE's president Nick Khan also sent an email to the WWE staff confirming the news, which comes after the lawsuit that allegedly that he was supposed to be involved in with the whole sex trafficking and abuse scandal from the former WWE employee, which I'm not going to name any names here. TKO, they made out a statement, though. On January 26, 2024, Vincent Kennedy McMahon notified the board of directors of the TKO Group Holdings of his resignation from his positions as executive chair and a member of the board and any other position, employment, or otherwise he has at TKO and its subsidiaries. I can't say that word. In each case, with immediate effect as of January 26, 2024. Now, with everything that's happening and Vince McMahon no longer being with TKO, TKO is really doing their due diligence to kind of give Vince McMahon the whole Chris Benoit thing and just erasing him from the company, which it's, I kind of feel it, but you make your bed, you sleep in it, is what I have to say about that with Vince McMahon. He made WWE which what it is today. He made WWE and made WWE fans like myself love the company like I do today. Now, when I was a kid, I wasn't as smart and wiser as I am right now. But, you know, with that being said, Vince McMahon is not the only one that's out of WWE. It looks like that Brock Lesnar is just, he disappeared from WWE now. He was slated to be in the Royal Rumble, but then got replaced by Bron Breakker. And it was noted on the Wrestling Observer Radio Bron Breakker was the replacement for Brock Lesnar, which I really thought that Pat McAfee was the replacement for Brock Lesnar because just the way that everything happened. I don't know. The men's Royal Rumble sucked, so there's that. But Lesnar, he was pulled after he was mentioned on the Wall Street Journal story that covered Janelle Grant's lawsuit against WWE and Vince McMahon. Dave Meltzer, he wrote that there have been a number of changes made to the WrestleMania in the last few days. And he wrote, "The way it was explained to me is that it involves more creative plans for Brock Lesnar and a domino effect when the decision was made at the last minute to not have Brock Lesnar on the show due to the lawsuit. It was planned for Lesnar to face Dominic Mysterio at the Elimination Chamber match, or at the Elimination Chamber Premium Live event in Australia. There were also plans for Lesnar versus Gunther at WrestleMania. Looks like that's not going to be happening now. Likely it was for the Intercontinental Championship. It's not clear yet if those matches will be given to Bron Breakker." And Breakker talked to Kathy Kelly after the Royal Rumble match, basically saying, "I belong on the main roster and it's time for me to move up." So Bron Breakker looks like he's going to be heading to SmackDown. I don't think that he's going to be in a feud with Gunther. He might be in a feud maybe with Logan Paul. Who knows? Because from the idea and the feeling that I'm getting, it looks like Bron Breakker is going to be a babyface. Now, with all that out of the way with the Royal Rumble and Vince McMahon, Triple H, post-conference show, let's move on to some lighter news. You know, like CM Punk, not going to be at WrestleMania 40. CM Punk, he confirmed last night on Monday Night Raw that he will not be able to wrestle at WWE WrestleMania 40. And he did ask, you know, the doctor, "Hey, what about if I can just go to rehab and just kind of regrow this thing and just kind of like put some tape on it?" They said no. CM Punk, he did kick off Monday Night Raw and he walked into the ring with a tear in his eye. And it confirmed that he had torn his triceps, and it was going all over social media that he did tear it. And Drew McIntyre is the one that did it. I mean, everyone did the thing to protect him. It's a thing in the Royal Rumble match where a lot of the WWE superstars do a lot to try to protect each wrestler, but I guess CM Punk was very unlucky, and it's just been an unlucky year for WWE itself, because this WrestleMania was supposed to be huge. Now with Seth Rollins out, and now with CM Punk out, Brock Lesnar is not going to be at WrestleMania. WWE has a lot of work to do, and Triple H, Paul Levesque, he has a lot of work to do to try to create another scenario here that all of us can get on board with, because he was indeed doing long-term booking for WrestleMania. Like I said, Punk did kick off the show, and Punk said that he's not mad at anyone, and he congratulated Cody Rhodes and said that he hopes Cody does, in fact, finish his story. Punk said that he wanted to get his arm taped and go on to the Elimination Chamber and to face Seth Rollins. And now he wonders if he was ever meant to main event WrestleMania. Punk told a story about a kid fighting through cancer and all this other stuff, saying that, "Hey, this is nothing. It's just a bump in the road. I'll be back," and all this. And then walked out Drew McIntyre, the one who did injure him. And McIntyre said, "I prayed for this to happen, and it did. When I got into the Royal Rumble, I targeted you. I violently assaulted you. I could not let you win that thing." And then McIntyre said that he slept like a baby after hearing the news all over social media. But then CM Punk, again, long-term booking, guys, and realism. Punk said that when I do come back, you're my first target. And then Drew McIntyre lays him out. hits his arm again to make it believable that he'll be out for a long term, that he's definitely going to be out. Then same as Zayn, he ran out and ended up being a main event spot. And so it was Sami Zayn and Drew McIntyre. But this is really unfortunate because right when Cody Rhodes won the Royal Rumble, it was set in stone. He's going up against Roman Reigns. He pointed to Roman after when he won the Rumble. And then we all knew CM Punk and Seth Rollins is going to be nothing but confirmed for WrestleMania. But then this happens, another injury. It tears my heart up, especially when seeing CM Punk in that ring. CM Punk is the whole reason why I'm doing a podcast. He's the whole reason why I got into the business of behind the ring, inside the gorilla, inside the backstage. CM Punk has created a lot of positive things for people like me in the podcast world and also WWE world. And to see him in that ring and to see him not going to be able to perform at WrestleMania really does suck. But then later on in the night, but since CM Punk and Seth Rollins is a no-go, Cody Rhodes came out, was going to be saying who he's going to be facing, and then out comes Seth Rollins. And all that Rollins says is that, hey, hear me out. I respect the hell out of you. But don't go making your decision to fight Roman Reigns at WrestleMania just quite yet. And he was just stating his case, saying that this title is the blue collar. This title is what your father would have wanted you to get. Basically baiting him and kind of, creating a storyline towards seeing Seth Rollins versus Cody. And if I'm not mistaken, Cody Rhodes has Seth Rollins beat 3-0. We've already seen it happen. I don't want to see Cody Rhodes face Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. But he said that Cody Rhodes said that he'll think about it. And I'll have my decision on probably Friday. Or he really didn't say if it will be Friday, but I can only imagine that Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns are going to be on Friday night SmackDown. And if that's the case, who says that The Rock isn't going to be at this Friday and set up the whole shebang to face off Roman Reigns at WrestleMania? I say that it could happen. I don't want it to happen. But Cody Rhodes needs to finish his story against Roman Reigns. It only makes sense. You're going to sit here and tell me that you're not going to feel that if Cody Rhodes defeats Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship belt, that it's going to be as justifiably as good as if Cody Rhodes would have faced off against Roman Reigns. It doesn't make sense to me. I feel that it just is a better outcome for everyone, especially for Cody Rhodes, and he would be respected more towards the fans. It would be a better pop. Everything just leads to Cody Rhodes beating Roman Reigns, and that's what has to happen. But with all this happening, just about everything is being considered for the WrestleMania card, and a lot can change. I believe that that WrestleVotes, they tweeted out something along those lines. But I have a report up here saying here, this is a column written by Andrew Ravens, and he says this: it's been a wild week for WWE, The Rock joining the TKO group, signing deal for Netflix for Raw in January of 2025, and the lawsuit that's going on. A number of changes were made after when Brock Lesnar was pulled from the match, and then CM Punk was planned on for the World Heavyweight Championship match against Seth Rollins at WrestleMania, and now that's nixed. because Punk tore his triceps. And now Cody Rhodes, he's expected to challenge Roman Reigns for the Undisputed title. But while the Women's World Championship, Rhea Ripley, and the Women's Champion, Io Sky, will still find their opponents soon. So everything is still on the card here. And this is the tweet that WrestleVotes tweeted out. I got to get it up here. I believe that they stated, yes, there it is. Give me 1 second. Yes. Between the unfortunate event with the injury of CM Punk, the questionable status of Seth Rollins, and pulling Brock Lesnar of the WrestleMania card has took a sharp turn. Source said that there are a number of brand new card variations on the table, including some superstars who were not pegged towards the top just days ago. I'm being told that they will take their time to figure things out and consider just about everything. Hey, I mean, that's what's going to happen. I mean, you can't expect these things and these injuries happening. And now you just kind of have to take the bull by its horns and try to set up something. Not right now, but you got to start planting the seeds for this long-term booking. I don't want anything being started just 4 weeks away from WrestleMania. It doesn't make it special. You got to do it soon, maybe in a week, 2 weeks, have an opponent for X superstar, have an opponent for Gunther, or have Gunther have the Intercontinental title and face off Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns here. I don't know. But everything, I guess, is on the table for WWE and its creative things that is going to be going on. And I don't know. I don't know what's going to be happening. I would really love to see Cody Rhodes face off Roman Reigns, even if he doesn't win. I mean, if he doesn't win, his character is just going to be in shambles. I know that the kids love Cody Rhodes, but it's an art. And it's a script, and it's a male soap opera. You gotta try to entwine us grown adults, but I know that we're not the target here. The target is for the kids. That's why I'm a fan, because they targeted me as a kid, and now here I am being a fucking schmuck and trying to talk wrestling on a podcast here. Yeah, I know. I've been talking a lot, but there's just been a lot of news that has just that's just been coming out. I just had to get it on here. But I'll say these two things, then I will let you guys go here. But you got a new commentator team, and Pat McAfee and Michael Cole are together again once again. But you could tell that by the third hour, Pat McAfee was kind of getting a little bit tired. You could hear it in his voice. But he probably wanted to be with Michael Cole. And if he was going to be coming back, that's where he wanted to be. He wanted to be with the great Michael Cole here. But since he's on Raw now Wade Barrett is going to be on SmackDown's team. Now Corey Graves is going to be the head honcho and probably the new, probably going to be the new voice of WWE in years to come when Michael Cole does decide to hang it up. Who knows what's going to be happening with that, but I just thought that I would share that I love Pat McAfee with WWE, and I love that he is with the company once again. Even though that he is on a three-hour show, he made a little joke saying, hey, I had to use the bathroom. Thank God for the security guy being very kind and generous to me. But that was just a little dig at, hey, WWE, hey, Paul, this show can't be 3 hours anymore. If you're going to have me, I don't know. But one last news here. Natalia responds to a TNA champion. And also the TNA champion was on a podcast today stating that she would love to face Bianca Belair. As noted earlier on WrestlingNews.co, Steve Fall interviewed TNA Knockouts world champion Jordynne Grace about her surprise appearance in the WWE Royal Rumble match. And Fall, he asked Grace to name some of the wrestlers from WWE that she would like to face in a one-on-one matchup. And Grace named Bianca Belair, Ivy Nile, and Natalya, and some of the people she would love to step in the ring with here. Now, the full interview, you can go on YouTube or you can go on Twitter. Check out the YouTube there. Or check out the video there. I'm going to jump into that because I've been talking for far too long and I really need to wrap this thing up. But she did state on there, I would jump at the chance to do this. Loved our chemistry in the Rumble and I could feel your passion for this business at Jordynne Grace. And that was a tweet from Natalya. And it seems like the Forbidden Door is in WWE now. And at some point this year, maybe TNA and WWE, they kind of do like a little collaboration. Not somebody from TNA go to WWE, but maybe somebody who isn't getting a lot of work done in WWE right now goes down to TNA and maybe, like I said before, maybe have TNA as their little minor league system here. Especially, like, you know, if Triple H isn't going to get like a mid-card title for the women's side of things, I think that's a huge, huge like mistake here. But I guess having the tag team titles as a mid-card title, but if you're not in a tag team with another woman, then your eye is basically on needless matches with other like women who need to get some TV time to not be rusty, or they go for the brand's main championship on the women's side of things. This would be a great opportunity for the women's division in WWE to go down to TNA and show off of like what they can do. And it's a win-win for both sides. For the women's side on TNA and WWE, they can collab, and hey, who knows, maybe Natalya would win the TNA Knockouts Women's Championship and then bring it on to WWE and then doing both WWE and TNA. I think it's a good thing for both sides of it, and I would love to see that happen because both WWE and TNA, I think, could both use it specifically for the women's division, not for TNA side, but you know, this would bring in a new set of eyes onto TNA because I remember when I was a kid, I had never heard of TNA until I heard that Hulk Hogan was going to TNA as the GM there. And then I started watching TNA and then I became hooked on TNA for a little bit there. It's all but a good thing because no matter what, WWE will always remain on top, just like mommy. But hey, that's going to do it for me, guys. I've been talking for way too long here. I know that I've been saying that, but if you guys liked what you heard, please give me a negative 5-star review down in the comments section, or, you know, hit that thumbs up and hit that subscribe button if you guys liked what you heard as well. But I'm going to get going here, guys, and until next time, I will talk to you guys later, and thank you for joining me on here on Pardon the Pipe Bomb podcast.